This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is all here. OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt from the Fish Tank. I'm Travis Wingfield from the Drive Time Podcast. The bad news is the game was very much a textbook August football game, guys. The good news, though, only one more to go before they start to count in the standings. And despite a loss here, Juice, I still think plenty to be excited about tonight.
Yeah, there are. You know, it's amazing, though, how much better you feel with a win.
Sure.
Than you do after, you know, a loss. But there are some exciting young players on this team that, you know, we're all getting excited about. And, you know, it's important to go out there and see some of the guys that are going to be either the future are going to be big contributors, you know, later in this season. And I think that's what we saw today from a few guys. Obviously, the starters only got a little bit of work. Wasn't impressive at all from our starters. But at the same time, though, it's good to see some of the young guys go out there and get their opportunity to shine, and quite a few of them did, in my opinion.
Seth, I had a chance to maybe take a moment away from you there again like I did last week, only we're here live, so I suppose that was taken away. But it's interesting the kind of juxtaposition. Last week we get a missed kick to win the game. Now
sure. We're
the ones that miss the kick and get the loss at the end of the day. But like I said with the Juice, you know, late in that game, plenty of guys to be excited about making some plays down the stretch.
Yeah, there definitely were, but I think we were excited to see some guys play. I mean, there were 17 guys that didn't play last week, and we were hoping to see some of them play this week, certainly starting with QB1, and we did. And I'm sure we'll spend a lot of time tonight talking about Tua. But, yeah, it was kind of uninspired football early on, and I don't know what the expectations were. As you said, it is August, and outside of you, Travis, I don't know that the rest of us get particularly excited about preseason football. But it definitely felt like something was missing. We were hoping to see a little bit more. I mean, the Raiders left two-thirds of their team, right, in Vegas. And so you would have liked – it would be great to see the first-team offense or some semblance of the first-team offense march up and down the field. That's not what we saw tonight. But I thought Tua looked sharp, you know, in the limited opportunities that he had. I thought he looked sharp. He threw the ball well, definitely had some zip on it. The accuracy is always there. But really, Travis, as you said, I think the real excitement came from the guys late. Yeah. You know, the young guys that you hope can step up and crack the lineup at some point.
And that's the fun part of it, though, man. That's what the preseason, honestly, you can talk about anything you want to talk about, but the fun part of preseason is seeing these young guys that are battling and fighting.
Well, yeah, when you were playing, Juice, if anybody showed up for a preseason game to see O.J. McDuffie, it was going to be you in a ball cap, right?
Right.
And waving at him in the stands.
Well, yeah, my second or third year, yeah. First year, though, man, my first 2 years, actually, I couldn't wait to get out there and get it going, man. This means a lot to a lot of these guys.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It means the world to them. You know, I watch the kids at halftime, you know what I mean, that probably dream of playing on this field when they're older. I saw some guys in the alumni suite, you know, Damian Gregory and guys like that.
Damian Gregory was here.
He has their team that's sitting up there in the 300 level watching the game. You know, those kids are still dreaming about it out here. So the guys that actually are young guys that have actually made it, the guys that are actually young out here and that have made it, their dream is coming true today. And so every single minute, every single quarter is important to them. So, yeah, it is more exciting for me seeing the guys that are trying to make this squad get out there and try to ball out.
I mean, that's a good place to start, I think. We go back to the beginning part of the game. That's the tricky part about these preseason games. It's like, do you start with the end of the game where the drama is, or do you go back to the starters and talk about the guys that we're going to be seeing, you know, in a couple of weeks when they take on the Patriots right back here at Hard Rock Stadium? Juice, I do want to get your take on Tua's performance tonight and that first-team offense, but first, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
So, yeah, it wasn't a long workload for Tua Tagovailoa, but he does wind up 6-for-8 on the day, 58 passing yards, a 94.8 passer rating. And, Juice, I think the one play I want to go back to you on was something that me and Seth kind of debated about in the first quarter watching that game live, was the throw to Mike Gesicki. It was a 3rd-and-9 play, I think it was, and we saw some screenshots on Twitter where there wasn't anywhere to really go with the football except for that spot, but we talked to you about it because that's a tough location for a football for any receiver to make a catch on, especially, you know, Mike Gesicki in that hole shot there. But what do you think about that throw and just the overall performance so far of Tua here in the preseason?
Yeah, it's a great throw, but I think it's a bad decision in my opinion. You know, I mean, there's no way he's got two guys right there and one ready to knock his head off. So in a preseason game or in any game, until it gets late in the game, you don't fit anything in there that's going to get your guy killed. So going through his progression – the fact that he came to that at the end, I know it's 3rd down and you got to take a shot at sometimes, but you don't take shots like that in the regular season, definitely in the preseason, definitely not in the first quarter.
So where should he have gone with it, Juice? Because, you know, again, as Travis said.
Throw it away and punt it away.
Just throw it away.
But it's the first quarter. Throw it away, punt it away, and don't kill your receiver. You know what I mean? That's bottom line.
Yeah, because if he goes for that ball, there's a big hit.
And then,
there.
Then he's the one that's going to be labeled for not going for that ball. Why? You don't do that. I always go back. We talk about this every single week, every time I'm talking, is about when Danny did that to me in the first quarter, probably in the same – coming the same way against the Detroit Lions, and I got my head knocked off, stitches in my chin, you know what I mean, bleeding. And Danny was like, Juice, I never do that. I never – then after that, he's like, now, if we're in the fourth quarter, I'll be trying to fit it in, so we got to do whatever we have to do if we're trying to go down and win a game. You know, but in that situation – throw it away. See, here's the thing about it. We talk about Tua and his decision making. I like the fact that he can try to fit one in. But is that a good decision right there? Probably not. What if we lose Mike for the year?
Right.
What if that guy comes in low because he can't go high and takes Mike out and he's out?
Well, we didn't lose him because he got a whole lot of reps tonight. That's another segment, but I understand your point.
Yeah, I'm saying though, you cannot put your receivers in harm's way, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's one decision. And we're talking about Tua's decision-making that puts his receiver in harm's way. Everybody's going to be like, oh, Mike should have went for it. Oh, alligator, whatever they want to call it. That's a business decision as well. You can't just sit there in the preseason and throw a guy in the harm's way. Now, a young guy, they go for that. They have to, right? A veteran guy that's playing on the franchise tag, I'm not going for that. Especially when you sit there and, you know, I don't know how he feels about whether he's being, you know, how he's being treated in terms of his playing time. But at the same time, though, if I'm Mike Gesicki, I'm not going for that ball either. And I went for every damn ball.
It's interesting you talk about the decision-making because something that Mike McDaniel mentioned at halftime was that he was excited about the fact that when the first and second reads weren't there. He got to the next option in the progression. I thought that he looked really smooth in that part of the operation, Juice. I do defer to your expertise on that particular throw, that anecdote.
Wait a minute. So what'd you think?
That's why me and Seth thought, we were like, we want to ask Juice, because, you know, the layman sees a well-located pass, the ball's out on time and on rhythm. And again, there was nothing else there. So the idea to throw it away, I get your point about early in the game, the preseason contest. But I came away overall impressed from Tua's decision-making because of those. You know, we talk about this all the time, Juice. That throw to Chase Edmonds in the flat, like, he could have sat there and kind of surveyed and looked for more downfield options, but he didn't do that. He got it out right now, right quick, get it to him, and what happened, Chase was able to make a move and get a first down. That was the second of two quick decisions where I thought he got through his progression and got to that check down quickly, and that was something last year I thought was a shortcoming, where he was late to get to that check down, and then all of a sudden the check down gets covered up, you wind up taking a sack. So that was encouraging to me to see that late.
Well, the other point that you brought up, Travis, is that if you're out there and running those routes that were, you know, that were smothered, it's Tyreek Hill, it's sure. Jalen Waddle, yeah. And that, you know, maybe at that point, maybe you can't bracket Gesicki like that,
yeah.
Or option one or two might be open, and so it doesn't even come to that.
Yeah, that's a great point too, and it's going to be. I wrote a lot of notes while I was watching the game, and one of the things I did point out to myself was his decision making. But one of the things that we also have to take notes of is that he was able to go through a progression. He was able to get to his second and third reads. So that means they did a good job up front. I know we struggled a little bit at times, and I think, you know, Coleman had a couple issues, I think it was, at left tackle. Mm-hmm. But we know who's going to be there when it gets for real. You know, so there were a couple times where I thought that the fact that he was able to go through read one, read two, read three, drop it off, or read one and get to read two, that was impressive. Now, we'll talk, I'm sure, more about the inability to run the football,
right.
But at least we did have some better pass pro than we've had in a long time.
It's good to have you back, Juice. This conversations flow pretty easy with you in the booth here. So
yeah, because we were struggling when it was just me, is what he's saying.
I was listening to you guys. I heard it. It was good. I was on the way to hospital.
That's what I just heard. What I heard was like, Juice, just me and Seth here, it was a disaster, okay? So, you know, I'm just connecting the dots, but it's okay. Tua, it's great to have you back here, QB1. It's great to have you back here because, boy, whoa.
I'm just saying, we're already to the end of an eight-minute segment. It feels like about 3 minutes. We're already through the first 8 minutes. We have a lot more to go to, including plenty more Tua talk here on the show. We're not going to get past that in the first segment. We also got to talk about Skylar Thompson. He balled out again, guys. We're with you for two more hours here. The Dolphins post-game show is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. The final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Raiders 17, Dolphins 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Juice, when we went to the break there, I was asking you about the video before the game that kind of took us aback a little bit in the press box, Seth. Tua was out here today at 2:30 in the afternoon, and I don't know if you guys listening to the show are all here in South Florida, but it was not nice today. It was very hot out there today. Yeah. He's out there at 2:30 before 7 o'clock kickoff, Juice. I don't know if he's going through his script of plays. I imagine that's what he was doing, but he was on the field all by himself, nobody in the building here, getting some pregame work. I just wanted to get your take on that.
I just want to know how he got in the building that early, man. That's getting here way early, man. I knew some guys that used to leave the team meal and head straight to the stadium, man. But, yo, man, I love it. I really do love it, man. I love that, you know, the mental reps you get are sometimes better than the physical reps you get. And so if you can visualize some things like he was doing, and I'm watching it, as I watched that video, you know, he going through those progressions is nice, man. And you see it on the field. You can do it all you want in your hotel, laying around, you know what I mean, looking at a playbook or whatever you have. When you come out in the field, you take the steps that you have to make, and you visualize your 1, 2, 3 takeoff, reads. I like that, man, because visualization is a part of every major sports athlete. It's become sports science. It's become sports psychology. Whatever it is, visualization is really, really important. You visualize things happening, you can make them come to fruition. And I love the fact that that's something we haven't seen from him, and that could be a pregame ritual for him. Most guys that I played with, we had to be here 2 hours before kickoff, 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock kickoff, you had to be here at 5 o'clock. For him to be here at 2:30. You know what I mean? And then I guarantee once he did that,
he went home and then came back, or you think he just kind of
He probably, Zach used to come out there and run around and go take a shower. Yeah, and all kinds of these guys all had these different rituals to get themselves ready. So I'm sure he went there and sat around and looked at more, plays and script and things like that. So I love that part of it because that's the most important part, especially for QB1, to be able to be there mentally. And to go through it like that, man, that's special right there. And I didn't see that until just now on how he was out here. So his whole attitude has changed in terms of this position. And I think that a lot of people there was a little knock on whether he was, serious enough or working hard enough or mentally working on. He's serious about his position. You know what I mean? And that says it a lot right there, what he did, 4.5 hours for the game.
Yeah, I was thinking in the throes of last year, the whole golf topic and
all that
playing nine holes, whatever it was. To have him come out here doing that, put that
and
stuff
he's
to
young,
rest.
No, man, these guys are young at that point, man. Look, I let's keep it 100. I went to South Beach, when I was 22.
Not you.
You know what I mean? I was on South Beach. I went a quarterback.
His
but
hands
still,
are up
though,
right now. He's talking about it. He spread himself out wide talking about it.
I do appreciate a guy that, that at his young age realized the importance of his position and how he's a – like Seth is, he's the straw that stirs the drink.
He was chomping at the bit to play, though. You heard that in his presser this week. He talked about how he hoped he had played. He was ready to play last week and just really wanted to be able to get out there and do it without having the coaches standing next to him and the whole thing. So, I mean, it was clear that he knew he'd be up and he wanted to be ready. And I think he was. I know we kind of analyzed, and I don't want to say overanalyzed, but we really dissected that throw to Mike Kosicki. Yeah. And when there was only eight dropbacks, you kind of got to go and find something to dig into. But I really do think he looked sharp. He looked ready. And, I can't wait to see him get some more snaps. But I don't think we're going to see that until
the – Joint practice next week against the Eagles. Hey, if ESPN can get 2 hours out of a bucket hat throw in the summertime on social media, we can certainly dissect 8 passes in a preseason game here. And I really hope we're going to get audio here from Coach McDaniel on the next side of the break here, but maybe Tua Tagovailoa as well. I really, really hope somebody asks him about that because I'm curious, Juice, if he's going to do that same routine in the regular season. Different when you're only going to play, throw the ball 8 times, play 15 snaps, whatever it was. But I'm just curious to see if that's going to be part of a new pregame routine for him or not. Because, again, the comp coming out of college for him was always left-handed Drew Brees. We heard that so many times, and you told me, first name that came up when I told you that,
right.
Drew Brees
Breeze did that too, right? So pretty interesting stuff there. Seth, we don't get to do game balls today because we didn't win the game. Final score 15-13, but we still have to get to our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall. And our player of the game is Eric Ezukama. He had a bunch of catches today, including one big one for 24 yards.
Back to throw, Skylar Thompson. Deep down field, caught, perfect throw. That's a perfect to Ezukama.
What a throw.
So they pick up the first down.
How did he drop this in there? How did he drop it? He had to throw it over the top.
A 23-yard pickup.
Wow.
So I might change my mind about it making the team.
That is a big-time strong throw right there to drop that in over the top of a defender before another guy could get there.
Now, Big Seth, he talked about Joe was loving the throw there, but the catch to me, coming back to the football and then going up over a guy 50-50 ball and making that catch, and then he stays on his feet after it. Man, he looks good out there.
Yeah, he really does. Big and physical and certainly is a threat. I mean, that's the big thing. And you're right, man, I thought we were going to go down there and kick that field goal and win that game. And you know, look, I'm an old poker player. First of the pot takes it down. You know Juice is looking for any wide receiver to get a game ball to. So I jumped in there to group chat quickly, and now I did it before that catch, so I just want to put that out there. But he to me just really, as you would say, jumped off the tape. I mean, Eric Ezukama looked like a first round draft choice, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, the way he was playing out there, Juice. So I was a big target, and as you said, doesn't go down easy. He's not catching the ball and falling down, or you know, it's going to take a couple guys to get him down there. And I think that when I want to see him play with Tua.
Right.
You know, I'm looking forward to the point where those two guys are lining up and they're in the same huddle. And I think, you know, there might be a chance. As Jimmy just said, he changed his mind. He might make this team. I think there's a chance he might be in the huddle with Tua at some point as well.
I really hope, and I do believe Jimmy was joking right there, right? But you can tell the relationship that Skylar has with Eric. You know what I mean? Those two working whatever groups they're working with, twos or threes
or ones.
Just
on a first-name basis with everybody.
Yeah. I'm their elder. You know what I mean? I played on the field. Well, not that. Well, yeah, I did. You know, so it makes sense that they have that type of connection.
Sure.
And you see it, man. It really looks good. And the comfortability, you know. Well, for me, I always had – think about it. When I was, like, fighting to get into the starting lineup, when Marino went down, Bernie Kosar became the quarterback at one point. And who did Bernie throw the ball to all the time?
The Cleveland guy.
Because we were working twos all the time, you know what I mean? He knew me, you know. Plus, he always, you know, getting that huddle's a juice, which, I mean, do you need for your incentives? Yeah, but that's a different story, you know. But I do love what –
I don't think we're there yet.
Take care of your guys.
Yeah, I love what Eric Ezukama is doing, man. And I love that, you know, he's out there showing – I thought Sanders had a good game, too.
Yeah, he did.
You know, I thought that, you
definitely
know,
did.
Yeah, the receivers did. I thought they did a heck of a job of getting open. So it's good to have, you know, our 1-2s and threes. I saw Seth out there a little bit. I wish he'd have got more opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, Cedric Wilson.
I think he's probably going to be happy to not have too many opportunities.
Yeah, but you know what though, man? I mean, when you got you know, Tyreek not playing much and Waddle not playing at all. You're the third guy. I was watching some other games today, and I saw some of their number one guys getting some opportunities. You give me one or two catches, I'm happy going over and put a hat on, you know. But I need to – if I'm in the game and I'm dressed out, give me a little burn. Give me a couple opportunities, and then I'm cool with it. So I wish he'd have got some. We haven't really seen much from him in games, obviously. So I love what Eric's doing. Eric Ezukama. I love what Sanders is doing. I think that Skyler's doing a great job. I thought, you know, we'll talk some more. Even Teddy did a decent job today as well, man. Bottom line is this, boys. We got some receivers. We got some quarterbacks that can throw the rock a little bit. Can we run the football?
Yep.
We'll get to that part of it, man. That's the problem right now.
That was something that Seth and I were talking about in the press box, was they kept running that boot action off of the run game, and then they would just kind of crash that edge, and it wasn't there
for
the quarterback to get
it.
Space. Said you got to run the football for that to happen. So hopefully that can be the next part of the game that comes into play here.
Bad,
you know, it's funny you mentioned some of the other teams. Like, I saw Stephon Diggs today had a couple of catches in that Bills game.
I was going to say, I hate talking about Buffalo.
I figured you were
talking about it,
but pulled back on
any other team, man.
But they pulled the okie doke on us here with Tyreek Hill. He comes out, he's working out, he's working up a lather, and he's in the lineup. He's not on that sheet we got of players not expected to play. They don't do inactives. And then he comes out, and he's in gym shorts and a no shoulder pads. It's like, all right, I guess we'll wait until week one to see Tyreek Hill out here. But as you come Obama ends up with 6 for 114. That's not a preseason stat line. That is a really good stat line for the regular season there, not to mention a game where you're not playing the whole freaking game. You mentioned Braylon Sanders, 3 for 40. Man, he had a chance to catch a touchdown that would have been, I don't know, 4 for 55 and a touchdown. Really close to get his hands on that one, but the DB broke it up. So Dolphins receivers making some plays. Got to shout out River Craycraft, two catches for 32 yards.
I was going to say that about your boy, man. I like him, man. I actually put a note in my thing. That seven route, that deep seven route, I think it's for 20 yards.
Yeah, the corner.
Remind me a lot of Wes Welker.
Oh!
The route and the catch look a lot like a young Wes Welker, man, making that play, man. And I was like, I put it in my notes. I'm like, man, this guy, I like it. And then the one he caught over the middle got north and south. You know what I mean? Craycraft had a night. He had a solid game.
Look how fired up Travis is right now. You should have seen him in the press box every time he's catching the ball. He's screaming, go Cougs. What was that thing you were doing with your hands?
Is that what you guys were doing?
Just the first down growl. I'm not going to do on the air right now, but it's basically what Penn State probably does with their first down.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. We are way off the rails of the player of the game here. That was your key player of the game, Eric Ezukama. We talked about several guys there, but it was Eazy-E, 6 for 114. Sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Morse. Guys, we're going to go to break here in a couple minutes, but I want to pick it back up because we have a couple minutes before we do go to that break. You mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. Let's go ahead and go back to Teddy here because I want to get to Skylar Thompson for his own segment. But Teddy, in the game, finishes, 10 for 20, 119 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He took the one sack, Juice. What'd you make of that play there with the safety to not throw that football away?
Yeah, well, I mean, he did throw it away, ended up being the safety part of it. I thought it was just a bad decision. For one, I didn't like the play call. I really didn't like the play call. But I'm not going to question Mike McDaniel and his mindset. Run a boot right there. Teddy avoided the first guy, then he runs into trouble with the second guy. When you're out of pocket right there, you've got to be that savvy guy at that point to let it rip into the cheerleading section, you know, and he didn't do that. Instead, you know, he's – and Teddy, let's keep it 100. I love him to death, but he's never been that elusive as a quarterback as it is. So some quarterbacks might feel they can get out of that situation. But I think that was a linebacker DB that made the play, which is going to make it even tougher for a quarterback. Teddy, being a veteran, should have made a better decision after the first traffic he ran into.
And they were on him quick.
They were on him quick.
They were on him
and
like
I know you asked – you said Mike – I didn't see the whole play.
Oof.
But I guess Mike had a rough situation there. That made the immediate pressure on him. But at the same time, though, turn your back to guys. I mean, he's, you know, going to his right or to his left and coming back to his right. That's a tough play call when you're backed up like that. But Teddy should be smart enough to let that rip after the first traffic he had.
Yeah, they got some explosive today. I mean, Dolphins quarterbacks, 25 for 38, 303 passing yards. Teddy had the deep one to Braylon Sanders, I thought was really nice. And he had one later in the game, too, where he kind of peeled off and ripped a nice touch throw to that seven route like you're talking about as well. So some good stuff there across the board for Dolphins QBs. We're going to come back. Plenty to talk about here. Mike McDaniel press conference. You talked about Mike Gesicki. I think we all really want to dive into that. Some of the cornerback depth and the injuries there, the tackle play with Teron Armstead out. Plenty to talk about here on the Dolphins postgame show, which is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Also sponsored by Andujar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins dropped this one 15-13 to the Raiders. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. And guys, we left off the last part of this show talking about the quarterbacks and the receivers. I want to go to a player at the tight end position here who... We talked about it last week, Big Seth. He had some interesting usage. Did he come back out in the third quarter and suit back up? Was it just late into the second quarter for Mike Gesicki?
He played the entire second quarter. I don't know if he played in the third quarter, but he played deep. And you're talking about, again, going back to last week, he was, I think, the only skilled position offensive player that was even up, let alone, you know, the amount of playing time that he had, and one of the few starters at all. And then significant playing time this week. And probably not the game that Mike wanted to have.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it when they were 11 personnel too, Juice, it was Durham Smythe out there, not Mike Gesicki.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't the game Mike wanted to have. And you know what? The bottom line is this. As professionals, when you're out there and your number's called, you got to go out there and perform. You know, I mean, a few situations. We talked about the safety situation where Mike might have gotten beat right away. Talk about the one pass over the middle, you know, where Mike didn't go for it, which we talked about that already. But then you also talk about the one that he had in the middle, and he got a good pop on him. But nice, you know, hit. But the pops are coming.
Yep,
pops are coming, man. That's part of the game, right? So I just hope that they're trying to see what Mike can do and giving him all these opportunities and a new offense. But also, it's just a test of will. It really is a test, and I think that Mike's got to shine in these situations. You talk about the fact he's gotten more. He's got as many quarters as Skylar Thompson's gotten.
Almost,
you know what I mean? So that's getting the rookie treatment on the franchise tag. So, I mean, when you get these opportunities, man, don't.
What do you think that is?
I just don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I honestly cannot put my finger on it. I mean, look, he's guaranteed his money for this year.
Yeah.
So why not protect him somehow other than put him out there, which in my opinion, in harm's way. Whenever you're going against, you know, with the twos and threes as a starter, as a franchise guy, I've never seen this happen before.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the Ronnie Brown kickoff return stuff before and things like that, but I've just never heard of it.
But so that's another example, though. And what's interesting to me is I wonder if they say, you know, and again, I can't be in their heads, but it's like, hey, here's a supremely talented guy that could potentially be a huge weapon for us, but we feel like we need to get more out of him. We need to get, you know, do you think it's that? And going back to that Ronnie Brown example, and, you know, we heard Coach McDaniel talk about the tight ends as a whole having to almost be reprogrammed, you know, I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if, you know, you take that, but then you kind of magnify it with a guy that is your franchise player that does have all of these incredible skills, but yet there's other things that they need him to do really well, and are they trying to push him to his limits?
But didn't we just talk about last week that the most important work last week was the two practices against Tampa and not the game itself? You know what I mean? And he still got all that work in there, you know, in the game.
But there's no absolutes, right? Coach McDaniel says that all the time.
I understand
there's
that.
No absolutes.
Well, yeah.
This is a unique situation.
Yeah, for one guy? All right, okay. There's got to be some other guy who maybe we're not paying attention. Other guys are having the same situation that they're doing, you know? This week, you know, I mean, he gets more run again. So next week they're going to be against Philly for 2 days in practice. Nobody's going to play in the third preseason game, but is Mike
we'll
going to play?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
It'll be interesting to see
how it's being treated, man. So I don't know. Let me let everybody know. Obviously, I'm a Penn State guy.
Yeah, there's a little sensitivity here.
Of course there is. Of course there is, man. And, you know, and I know, you know, I don't know how Mike is feeling about the whole situation. But, hey, no matter what, man, your number's called out there. You're dressed out. You got your full pads on. Go out there and play.
And I think he's shown that, right?
Yeah.
He's a pro's pro, and I think he's shown that. And he was, you know, he certainly didn't seem like he was loafing. He was, you know, I'm not questioning his effort at all. It looked like there was great effort there, but the results were not what we expect or have seen in the past from Mike Gesicki. And I wanted to ask you again, you know, that I said, hey, you got popped there. And you're like, yeah, a little pop. In a vacuum. So I know there were some other things that didn't go well for him, but in a vacuum on a play like that, as a receiver, you've been in that same situation. To me, just looking at it, it looks like, hey, I got a catch. I turn around. The ball, you know, what should he do to protect or prevent that from happening? Because – I mean, that seems like that's a tough play to make.
It really is a tough play to make. And I'm going to tell you what, only one that can see that happen is the quarterback. So sometimes you got to worry about
it. It always falls back on the quarterback when we ask Juice, doesn't it?
I mean,
you gotta know you're
sometimes the throw should be made, but over the middle, you always got
to. You might need to have to go visit these QBs and sit in the room.
You always
got
to worry about getting popped over the middle, man. So anytime the ball's over the middle, you got to, you know, catch and get little. We call it getting little, you know what I mean, and minimize the damage when somebody's going to hit you.
Is there an expectation as a receiver, like, there's no way there's somebody behind me. He wouldn't put me in that position. Like, is that going through your head in any way?
I would. That's how I feel. But see,
you feel like you're able to turn and go because why would he throw it to me?
Especially where he throws it. If you throw it here.
You're making the assumption that
there's somebody I got to catch it and keep running with it, you know?
Just trying to understand.
Otherwise,
I didn't have to deal with that.
Otherwise, you put it on me right here, and it stops me from getting my head knocked off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's bottom line, man. And as a receiver, though, too, you know, when you go out there, you always have to worry about two sets of eyes, the guys that are that's guarding you and the guys that's help. You got to always know where the help is, you know? And you always know where the help is. Mike got it inside and then moved inside. So it means he's got the guy's got inside help. So you got to realize, you got to think that if the DB that's guarding me lets me release inside, that means he's got help inside. You know, so if he lets me release outside, he's got help outside. So you got to be it all as part of the game, whereas you got to realize, you know, if you got an easy release inside, there's got to be somebody there to take that away from you.
Right.
Even though, I mean, let's be honest, our DBs let guys inside and there was nobody there to help it. We had a lot of guys running free on the other side. Yeah, so, yeah. But that's what you should be thinking as a receiver, though.
It's interesting we saw that because Myles Gaskin lost a fumble on something similar, and it kind of reminds me, you know, last year, Juice, we complained a lot about the routes coming back to the quarterback or they're stationary, and you couldn't really get Jalen Waddle's speed right. Stretched out as a result of that. Well, now this offense has guys on the move catching balls on the run, and they ran into two near fumbles. One was a fumble
today.
Yeah,
let me talk about that play in general. So I don't know what the coverage was there. Now, if it was a
which one? Are we talking about Gaskin?
The Myles Gaskin play.
Okay.
The Myles play, because you look at that play right there, it's an individual route. You know, it's a basically an option route by the by the running back. Now he's running it out like it's man to man. So he was getting covered like man. So the guys on the outside have to do a job there. If whatever the job is, if you got to run that guy off, you know what I mean, in man to man situation to give Myles that alley out there, then that's the case. So I have to see when you look at the all 22. I love to see what the outside receiver did, because his job, honestly, is to clear that out, get that guy out of there, unless they're playing zone. But it didn't look like zone, because the way the linebacker was hawking on Myles, looked like Myles read it as man, and that's how the guy came off and knocked the ball
out on
him.
What I wanted to hear, because it's very interesting. You know, you think about the way that you see vanilla looks in preseason, and yeah, twice that happened where they ran right into guys. But if that's the case, that's something McDaniel talks about all the time, like be a teammate and run your guy
you
off
to do your job.
And do that decoy route, yep. Even though it's not fun, not sexy, and it's just kind of drains
it
you
could
a little
be. Maybe you get open. Maybe you, could, be, maybe yeah. You fit one in there, you know. But if you run hard all the time and definitely have to get outside, you have to outside release. You have to turn that DB's back to your back that's coming out there. If you go inside and then the DB can see through you to the back, that's how you light them up like that, man. So I'd like to see that on film again and see what happened there.
Juice, after not being here week one, we're giving you a Mike Gesicki-level workload here through the first three segments. You're carrying us,
yeah,
man.
It's great to have you back, Juice, because I got to tell you, it was a little rough.
My last point I want to make there was it's just interesting, the tight end position, going back to the Gesicki thing, because, you know, Coach talked about this a little bit, Juice, with the tight end position in this offense, kind of having to relearn the way they play things. And the example he gave that I thought was really interesting is when you – They want to fire off the ball and play fast and go get it. They want to be aggressive and go get it. Coach's answer was awesome. I love that. That's a drive time shout out right there. But he mentioned, like, when you have a nine technique, you know, that wide alignment defensive end that's way out there, way outside your outside shoulder, that you maybe are originally trained to be a little more apprehensive to let him get into you, because, you know, that guy's dangerous. He threatens a lot of your edge in terms of the run game. He can pass rush from that position too. So it's a very interesting discussion, because the players have talked about it. Coach McDaniel has talked about it, and the tight end, the production in the passing game, at least through practice and the preseason games, it just hasn't really been there so far. So it's something to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're going to go ahead and take our break here and come back here and get to Coach McDaniel's postgame presser here on the other side. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Raiders 15, Dolphins 13. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show presented by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. We have Coach Mike McDaniel at the podium after his second preseason game here at the Miami Dolphins. Let's go to Coach Mike McDaniel.
Such a good camp. Just in his development and ownership of the offense. And I was very hopeful that his ownership of the offense, his command of the players was real good. He distributed the ball well. There's a couple times that he got to three in his progression. you know, and he adjusted with the defense. They kind of came out and you know, weren't matching personnel, and that wasn't something that in the preseason you necessarily expect nor prepare for. Didn't bother him in the slightest. So I was happy with his performance, and it was something to build upon moving forward that the team really was pumped to see.
Tua did play some of the key offensive starters, Teron Armstead, Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill did. Obviously, Teron and Jaylen have been kind of sidelined a bit. But I mean, I guess at this point in the preseason, do you expect them to play at all in the finale? And I guess just what is your level of concern with, you know, not having all those guys and kind of the preseason set?
No, it's the same thing it's the imperfect situation that is the preseason for the game of football. You're trying to balance getting guys prepared and not putting them at risk in an exhibition. So with each player, it's kind of case by case. You know, I hadn't planned on, you know, I didn't really know what I was going to do with Tua, and I hadn't planned on making a decision until the last second. He kind of helped me with that. You have to assess each and every player for where they're at in the offense, within, and really in the defense. You really have to just assess everyone where they're at and how much they need that preseason so they can feel 100% full go against the Patriots. And I think I'll continue to do that through the Philly week and for the Philly game.
Mike, what are you seeing from Skyler now compared to when you first got here?
He just gets better every day. You know, that's I think he, like this game, the operation was better. There was one time that he kind of lost the play clock a little bit, and we had to burn timeout. But more than anything, he really had command over everything, and he's starting to make plays that, you know, when one or two aren't there, feeling the concept, and, you know, like that touchdown they threw to Z White in the on the left hand side, that's something that Skyler doesn't make, you know, at the beginning of preseason. So I've seen continued improvement, but he's very diligent about the process. He's got the makeup of what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. So I think all of his teammates can feel that too.
It was cool video that they showed on CBS where Tua was, I don't know if you know this, he was out on the field by himself at 2:30 in the afternoon, kind of visualizing things. He had a play sheet, he was going through what he was going to do before the snap, during the snap, that early. What do you think that says about where he is relative to his, you know, knowledge of the offense and his desire to gain full command?
Man, that says everything. That's why his teammates are confident in him. That's why I'm confident in him, and that's why his coaching staff is, because that is something that, you know, he has done on his own with guidance from, you know, his quarterback coach, Coach Bevel. But you can feel that every day that he is. Coach Bevel has explained to him all sorts of stories of the players he's worked with. Coming in here this year, that wasn't something that I had heard Tua. That wasn't really his MO. Just to go ahead and, you know, go outside the framework of whatever the schedule is and really invest all in on your craft. He is doing that every single day, and it really shows in his play. That doesn't surprise me. I hadn't heard that, but he's really been doing that every single day, at the beginning of the day before he gets the script, and that's why he's owning the offense and leading us well, so that we'll be in a good position to be what his teammates really need him to be week one.
Mike, what do you make of the 4 yards rushing?
That's not very much, and yeah, the, you know, it's a fine line. I'm not overreacting to it. I'm not really one that is just black and white. All right, so you have a bunch of yards, and you can run the ball, and you don't have any, and you can't. You know, there's really rushing yards. If you have one explosive, it can be super misleading. What I do know is that the last two opponents, this one a little bit more so than the other one, our players were caught off guard with something they hadn't seen on tape really. And in the NFL, you have to be able to do that. So I'm happy that there's no false sense of comfort level, really. It does raise the urgency for the offensive line, tight ends, and receivers blocking. But at the same time, I'm not panicked because, you know, I would have been more panicked if they were entering into something that we had totally prepared them for, and we still weren't able to displace people on the line of scrimmage and do things of that nature. So it's cause for your attention, but at the same time, there's no panic button. It's really, okay, can we learn from this? Now the same thing happens next week. That will be more concerning for me. But I think the guys have a lot of pride, and we emphasize the run game a lot. So we obviously want more production than that, and that's what we expect from ourselves moving forward.
Like, injury-wise, what happened there in the first half with Nick, Keon, and I think you, McKenzie, left for the medical tent at some point?
Yeah, there were some dings. We had some hand injuries. There's nothing fatal, but in terms of long-term issues. So there was one occasion we had someone go back into the game. We had someone leave and stay out. I'll have more information tomorrow with all that, but they're in constant communication. There's nothing that we're overly concerned for in the long haul, which is a good thing for the Miami Dolphins.
What does Gesicki need to do to make sure that he can have his positive impact on the team, the offense, during the entire season?
No, he was in a position to have a pretty good game, you know, you can ask him. He was frustrated because he had a couple options. You know, we rely on him, and we went to him, and he had a couple pretty good ops that he wasn't able to come up with the play. So that was, you know, he needs to continue to do what he's doing, which is completely committing in the run and pass game to the offense. And he's a couple plays on the ball away from, you know, having a really good game that he feels really good about. He knows that. I know that. It's one of the reasons why he stayed in the game, was because he was frustrated. And as a competitor, he knew he could make the plays that he didn't. So it's nothing out of the ordinary or nothing far from exactly what he's been doing. He just needs to continue to be diligent and not get frustrated when the ball doesn't bounce his way or you know, they get paid to, they hit him, he doesn't make a play on the ball. We all appreciate the fact that he's a competitor and he's not satisfied with touching the ball and not coming down with it. But as long as he approaches it, you know, the player that he is, where he's very accountable, he will be fine. He'll be fine, and we'll all be better for it.
Kind of question: how would you evaluate the offensive line performance? What did you like or not like about it?
I thought that it was pretty solid. In terms of they went out and they were trying to attack the defense as best they could. Again, there's just some stuff that really we didn't adjust to as well as I would have liked. At the same time, it's not all on them, really. There were some things that I did expect them to get, some things that I'm not surprised that they didn't get. I'm not terribly the game was kind of taken out of their hands a little bit at the beginning with some of the stuff they're doing. We kind of had to transfer, and Players was real good. He distributed the ball well. There's a couple times that he got to three in his progression, and he adjusted with the defense. They kind of came out and weren't matching personnel, and that wasn't something that in the preseason you necessarily expect nor prepare for. Didn't bother him in the slightest. So I was happy with his performance, it was something to build upon moving forward that the team really was pumped to see.
Tua did play some of the key offensive starters, Teron Armstead, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill did. Obviously, Teron and Jalen have been kind of sidelined a bit. But I guess at this point in the preseason, do you expect them to play at all in the finale? And I guess just what is your level of concern with not having all those guys and kind of the preseason set?
No, it's the same thing that it's the imperfect situation that is the preseason for the game of football. You're trying to balance getting guys prepared and not putting them at risk in an exhibition. So with each player, it's kind of case by case. I hadn't planned on I didn't really know what I was going to do with Tua, and I hadn't planned on making a decision until the last second. He kind of helped me with that. You have to assess each and every player for where they're at in the offense, within, and really in the defense. You really have to just assess everyone where they're at and how much they need that preseason so they can feel 100% full go against the Patriots. And I think I'll continue to do that through the Philly week and for the Philly game.
Mike, what are you seeing from Skyler now compared to when you first got here?
He just gets better every day. I think he, like this game, he the operation was better. There was one time that he kind of lost the play clock a little bit and we had to burn time out, but more than anything, he really had command over everything, and he's starting to make plays that, when one or two aren't there, feeling the concept, and like that touchdown they threw to Z White in the on the left hand side, that's something that Skyler doesn't make, at the beginning of preseason. So I've seen continued improvement, but he's very diligent about the process. He's got the makeup of what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. So I think all of his teammates can feel that too.
It was cool video that they showed on CBS where Tua was, I don't know if you know this, he was out on the field by himself at 2:30 in the afternoon, kind of visualizing things. He had a play sheet, he was going through what he was going to do before the snap, during the snap, after. What do you think that says about where he is relative to his, knowledge of the offense and his desire to gain full command?
Man, that says everything. That's why his teammates are confident in him. That's why I'm confident in him, and that's why his coaching staff is, because that is something that, he has done on his own with guidance from, his quarterback coach, Coach Bevel. But you can feel that every day that he is. Coach Bevel has explained to him all sorts of stories of the players he's worked with coming in here this year. That wasn't something that I'd heard Tua. That wasn't really his MO. Just to go ahead and, go outside the framework of whatever the schedule is and really invest all in on your craft. He is doing that every single day. And it really shows in his play. That doesn't surprise me. I hadn't heard that, but he's really been doing that every single day at the beginning of the day before he gets the script, and that's why he's owning the offense and leading us well, so that we'll be in a good position to be what his teammates really need him to be week one.
Mike, what do you make of the 4 yards rushing, if
anything? That's not very much. And, it's a fine line. I'm not overreacting to it. I'm not really one that is just black and white. All right, so you have a bunch of yards, and you can run the ball, and you don't have any, and you can't. You know, there's really rushing yards. If you have one explosive, it can be super misleading. What I do know is that the last two opponents, this one a little bit more so than the other one, our players were caught off guard with something they hadn't seen on tape really. And in the NFL, you have to be able to do that. So I'm happy that there's no false sense of comfort level, really. It does raise the urgency for the offensive line, tight ends, and receivers blocking. But at the same time, I'm not panicked because, I would have been more panicked if they were entering into something that we had totally prepared them for, and we still weren't able to displace people on the line of scrimmage and do things of that nature. So it's cause for your attention, but at the same time, there's no panic button. It's really, okay, can we learn from this? Now the same thing happens next week. That will be more concerning for me. But I think the guys have a lot of pride, and we emphasize the run game a lot. So we obviously want more production than that, and that's what we expect from ourselves moving forward.
Mike, injury-wise, what happened there in the first half with Nick, Keon, and I think you, McKenzie, left for the medical tent at some point?
Yeah, there were some dings. We had some hand injuries. There's nothing fatal, but in terms of long-term issues. So there was one occasion we had someone go back into the game. We had someone leave and stay out. I'll have more information tomorrow with all that, but they're in constant communication. There's nothing that we're overly concerned for in the long haul, which is a good thing for the Miami Dolphins.
What does Gesicki need to do to make sure that he can have his positive impact on the team, the offense, during the entire season?
No, he was in a position to have a pretty good game, You can ask him. He was frustrated because he had a couple options. We rely on him, and we went to him, and he had a couple pretty good ops that he wasn't able to come up with the play. So that was, he needs to continue to do what he's doing, which is completely committing in the run and pass game to the offense. And he's a couple plays on the ball away from, having a really good game that he feels really good about. He knows that. I know that. It's one of the reasons why he stayed in the game, was because he was frustrated. As a competitor, he knew he could make the plays that he didn't. So it's nothing out of the ordinary or nothing far from exactly what he's been doing. He just needs to continue to be diligent and not get frustrated when the ball doesn't bounce his way or they get paid to, they hit him, he doesn't make a play on the ball. We all appreciate the fact that he's a competitor and he's not satisfied with touching the ball and not coming down with it. But as long as he approaches it, the player that he is, where he's very accountable, he will be fine. He'll be fine, and we'll all be better for it.
Kind of question: how would you evaluate the offensive line performance? What did you like or not like about it?
I thought that it was pretty solid in terms of. They went out and they were trying to attack the defense as best they could. Again, there was just some stuff that really we didn't adjust to as well as I would have liked. At the same time, It's not all on them, really. There were some things that I did expect them to get, some things I'm not surprised that they didn't get. I'm not terribly the game was kind of taken out of their hands a little bit at the beginning with some of the stuff they're doing. We kind of had to transfer and do some dropback stuff, and I thought they protected the quarterback well enough where it was never a situation where they had to get rid of the ball too early. The tight ends got beat on a horrendous play call with Teddy in, but outside of that, I think it was a pretty safe, well-protected game from them. We just need to go look at the tape and understand, okay, well, when teams are pressuring us in the run game and their feet are like this, we need to adjust like this. And that's why it's a process, really, for all the run game stuff and protection I was pretty happy with. So we'll just keep working next week and see how good we can get for game one. Thank you.
That was head coach Mike McDaniel in the post-game press conference here after the Dolphins' 15-13 loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. We're going to come back here on the other side and break that down, what coach talked about in that post-game presser. Dolphins' post-game is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score from Miami. Raiders 15, Dolphins 13. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com and lock in your low mortgage rate today. Almost blew that at the end there. Guys, we're going to talk about Coach McDaniel's press conference here. My takeaway from the presser was that the coach confirmed something we all said in those first few segments. The play call there, the tight end position, the quarterback, and getting to those reads. Must mean we're in midseason form here, and now it means it's time to go to Big Seth, our head coach press conference consigliere. How do you feel that title?
I feel like I just got Papa Doc'd here, so I'm going to go to a different note. But, I mean, it's always great to listen to Coach McDaniel. I thought at the beginning, because everybody's wondering, we're waiting for that list. It was interesting to hear, even driving in on the pregame show, I was waiting for Dono and Gadsden. Couldn't wait to see who's going to be the not expected to play list, yeah. Right, because we don't have the inactives. But he said, that balance between getting guys prepared and not putting them at risk in an exhibition, I thought that was interesting. I like the fact that he said he has to assess each and every player and where they're at, and he was talking about who's not playing, but that also spoke volumes to me about somebody we talked about who did play deep into the second quarter and Mike Gesicki, right? So, if you're assessing where certain guys are at and, okay, we don't need to see Tyreek, or we want to, T-Stead needs to get a little bit more rest. We know what he can do. You're making that assessment, but you're also assessing who is out there getting reps and when they're getting reps. And that leads me into the point that you made when we came out of break here is that, hey, Juice, we were both right. I think Gesicki, to me, I thought was beat right immediately on that. And you questioned a play call, but then you say, "Hey, I don't want to question Coach McDaniel." Well, he did it for you. He said it was a horrendous play call. Yeah. So, he obviously wasn't very comfortable with it, and certainly not with the result. Yeah. So that stuck out to me. And I also thought it was interesting to hear him say that when he got here, it wasn't Tua's MO to do some of the extras.
Very interesting.
But now he is, right? And so, we were all really impressed to see Tua out here before they even opened up the gates, as you said. I don't know if there's some secret tunnels in here. I don't think you can have tunnels in South Florida. But Tua found a way, which I like to see that in our quarterback. He was out there, and so coach is encouraged to see that. I think we're all encouraged to see that. But I also thought it was interesting to say that wasn't the MO.
Right.
So some growth. Even a guy who won at the highest level, a dynasty in college football, drafted fifth overall, you feel like he's done it all, but still, even guy like that still needs to learn a little bit of how to be a pro, and it sounds like we're seeing that maturation, and I think that should be exciting for all Dolphins.
Well, we got to keep it 100 in the situation there. especially at Alabama. Alabama's better than 99.9% of teams they play against, and his talent around him is outstanding.
SEC?
And the prep is probably, you know, probably have to do less prep work at times. When it comes to NFL.
And he said that. Tua has said that.
Yeah, every single team in the NFL has got some professional players on their team. They might not be a good team, but they all got professional players out there. And so you got to get out there and you got to prep like, you know, you're playing against the last year's Super Bowl champs or this year's potential Super Bowl champs, because you just never know. There's talent everywhere across the league. So the fact that, you know, he's out there and it wasn't MO to go out there and do the mental preparation. The mental part, I just remember times when we're on the plane and I see Bernie Kosar quizzing Danny Marino, you know, for a 4-hour flight on stuff. That's the mental stuff. We already know Danny has the physical attributes, and we know he's good mentally. But the fact that Bernie can help reinforce the situation, we get to this. We go out there, we got check with me situations, which means, you know, I'm going to tell you we're going left or right, or pass, and we're going to run it. Check with me. You know, if they show this, we're going to do this. If they show that, we're going to do that. But the mental part of it, you can only do so many physical reps. But the mental part of it, like Tua was doing, if he continues to do that, it's just going to get better and better. You know, we referenced, and I talked to you, Travis, a little bit about – when you see that pregame, you see Drew Brees doing that. You see him go through almost seven progressions. You know what I mean? Like, bah, you know what I mean? That mental part is huge for these quarterbacks. And the fact that, you know, Tua wasn't doing that at first, but he's doing it now, is going to make him the best quarterback he can possibly be.
It's really interesting because you can look at it negatively, you can look at it positively. Like, he wasn't doing it before, but now he is, so now we have a chance to maximize that skill set. And I go back to the first segment, we talked about him finding those quick checkdowns and getting to him fast. To me, that means he can raise his floor of his performance and not have those plays where you kind of dance around the pocket, you get the loose of the football, you turn it over, you take a big sack, knocked out of field goal range. The list of issues that can occur from that go on and on and on. That was interesting to me. I also just thought this was very interesting here. We got to get to break here real quickly, but when he said that the Raiders were not matching personnel, that seems completely foreign to me. Even in a preseason game, don't you want your coaches working on getting your substitution packages in and out? That's so crazy to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they probably would do that if they had all their guys there. You know, maybe they didn't have the personnel to go into nickel or dime because they left 25 guys back home. You know what I mean? Maybe they left five DBs there and they had to, you know what I mean? So who knows why that happens, you know? And honestly, regular season is going to be a lot different. When you start, you have to match personnel. Yeah. You know that, or you get killed one way or the other. You know, if you got dime defense in and we got three tights, you're going to get run on. You know how it works. But so, yeah, so it kind of caught Mike off guard. Oh, Coach McDaniel, my bad, off guard. Yeah. You know, I'm on first name basis with people right now.
Wow.
You know,
that is
super interesting in itself. But, you know, you won't expect that in the regular season.
What happens to your eyes when you see a linebacker come over to the slot and guard you?
It's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Start whistling like Jalen Waddle.
We better not be running the ball in that play. That's what happened.
That's your Sam Madison 10-on-10.
You better check that. You better check
what
that
would you
play.
Say? How would you get Danny's attention in that scenario?
To point at him, like, hey. 57 right here. It's 57 over me right now.
I'm waving my arms like it's a video program here. It's an audio program here.
Right.
Let's go ahead and go to break here, guys. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium. They turned the scoreboard off. Now I can't see it. The Raiders win 15-13 over the Dolphins. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com and lock in your low mortgage rate today. Almost blew that at the end there. Guys, we're going to talk about Coach McDaniel's press conference here. My takeaway from the presser was that the coach confirmed something we all said in those first few segments. The play call there, the tight end position, the quarterback, and getting to those reads. Must mean we're in midseason form here, and now it means it's time to go to Big Seth, our head coach press conference consigliere. How do you feel that title?
I feel like I just got Papa Doc'd here, so I'm going to go to a different note. But, I mean, it's always great to listen to Coach McDaniel. I thought at the beginning, because everybody's wondering, we're waiting for that list. It was interesting to hear, even driving in on the pregame show, you know, I was waiting for Dono and Gadsden. Couldn't wait to see who's going to be the not expected to play list, yeah. Right, because we don't have the inactives. But he said, you know, that balance between getting guys prepared and not putting them at risk in an exhibition, I thought that was interesting. I like the fact that he said he has to assess each and every player and where they're at, and he was talking about who's not playing, but that also spoke volumes to me about somebody we talked about who did play deep into the second quarter, and Mike Gesicki, right? So, you know, if you're assessing where certain guys are at and, okay, we don't need to see Tyreek, or we want to, you know, T-Stead needs to get a little bit more rest, we know what he can do, you're making that assessment, but you're also assessing who is out there getting reps and when they're getting reps. And that leads me into the point that you made when we came out of break here, is that, hey, Juice, we were both right. You know, I think Gesicki, to me, I thought was beat right. Immediately on that. And you questioned a play call, but then you say, "Hey, I don't want to question Coach McDaniel." Well, he did it for you. He said it was a horrendous play call. Yeah. So, you know, he obviously wasn't very comfortable with it, and certainly not with the result. Yeah. So that stuck out to me. And I also thought it was interesting to hear him say that when he got here, from what he had heard, it wasn't Tua's MO to do some of the extras.
Very interesting.
But now he is, right? And so, we were all really impressed to see Tua out here before they even opened up the gates, as you said. I don't know if there's some secret tunnels in here. I don't think you can have tunnels in South Florida. But Tua found a way, which I like to see that in our quarterback. He was out there, and so coach is encouraged to see that. I think we're all encouraged to see that. But I also thought it was interesting to say that wasn't the MO.
Right.
So some growth. Even a guy who won at the highest level, at the dynasty in college football,
won at the highest level.
Drafted fifth overall, you feel like he's done it all, but still, even a guy like that still needs to learn a little bit of how to be a pro, and it sounds like we're seeing that maturation, and I think that should be exciting for all Dolphins.
Well, you know, we got to keep it 100 in the situation there, especially at Alabama. Alabama's better than 99.9% of teams they play against, and his talent around him is outstanding.
SEC?
And the prep is probably, you know, probably have to do less prep work at times. When it comes to NFL.
And he said that. Tua has said that.
Yeah,
every single team in the NFL has got some professional players on their team. They might not be a good team, but they all got professional players out there. And so you got to get out there and you got to prep like, you know, you're playing against the last year's Super Bowl champs or this year's potential Super Bowl champs, because you just never know. There's talent everywhere across the league. So the fact that, you know, he's out there, and it wasn't MO to go out there and do the mental preparation. The mental part, I just remember times when we're on the plane and I see Bernie Kosar quizzing Danny Marino, you know, for a 4-hour flight on stuff. That's the mental stuff. We already know Danny has the physical attributes, and we know he's good mentally. But the fact that Bernie can help reinforce the situation, we get to this. We go out there, we got check with me situations, which means, you know, I'm going to tell you we're going left or right, or pass and run or run it. Check with me. You know, if they show this, we're going to do this. If they show that, we're going to do that. But the mental part of it, you can only do so many physical reps. But the mental part of, like Tua was doing, if he continues to do that, it's just going to get better and better. You know, we referenced, and I talked to you, Travis, a little bit about when you see that pregame, you see Drew Brees doing that. You see him go through almost seven progressions. You know what I mean? Like, bah, you know what I mean? That's it. That mental part is huge for these quarterbacks. And the fact that, you know, Tua wasn't doing that at first, but he's doing it now, is going to make him the best quarterback he can possibly be.
It's really interesting because you can look at it negatively, you can look at it positively. Like, he wasn't doing it before, but now he is, so now we have a chance to maximize that skill set. And I go back to the first segment, we talked about him finding those quick checkdowns and getting to him fast. To me, that means he can raise his floor of his performance and not have those plays where you kind of dance around the pocket, you get the loose of the football, you turn it over, you take a big sack, knocked out of field goal range. The list of issues that can occur from that go on and on and on. That was interesting to me. I also just thought this was very interesting here. We got to get to break here real quickly, but when he said that the Raiders were not matching personnel, that seems completely foreign to me. Even in a preseason game, don't you want your coaches working on getting your substitution packages in and out? That's so crazy to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they probably would do that if they had all their guys there. You know, maybe they didn't have the personnel to go into nickel or dime because they left 25 guys back home. You know what I mean? Maybe they left five DBs there and they have to, you know what I mean? So who knows why that happens, you know? And honestly, regular season is going to be a lot different. When you start, you have to match personnel. Yeah. You know that, or you get killed one way or the other. You know, if you got dime defense in and we got three tights, you're going to get runned on. You know how it works. But so, yeah, that – so it kind of caught Mike off guard. Oh, Coach McDaniel, my bad. Off guard. Yeah. You know, I'm on first name basis with two people right now.
Wow.
You know,
you just leveled up on it.
That is super interesting in itself. But, you know, you won't expect that in a regular season.
What happens to your eyes when you see a linebacker come over to the slot and guard you?
It's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Start whistling like Jalen Waddle.
We better not be running the ball in that play. That's what happened.
That's your Sam Madison 10-on-10.
You better check that. You better check
that. What would you say? How would you get Danny's attention in that scenario?
To point at him, like, hey. 57 right here. It's 57 over me right now.
I'm waving my arms like it's a video program here. It's an audio program here.
Right.
Let's go ahead and go to break here, guys. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium. They turned the scoreboard off. Now I can't see it. The Raiders win 15-13 over the Dolphins. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.